Tonight's video is about a group of friends who sneak into an abandoned amusement park in Wichita, Kansas, and experience something so terrifying that now they barely even speak to each other or talk about the incident. Until now. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up, and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. Joyland, the heart of entertainment in Wichita, Kansas. The only amusement park in this part of Kansas. Closing down in 2004, the amusement this park once brought to the people of Kansas soon became a nightmare. Between the overrun of homeless, drug addicts, criminals, and Satanists, Joyland quickly became a nightmare. Now, with the urban legend of skinwalkers and spirits of parkgoers who lost their lives on the many mishaps of the rides. With this information, Brendan, Tim, Wayne, and Willow pull up to the parking lot of the school in the back of the only entrance that is accessible from the outside. Brendan wearing his black hoodie and gym shorts, Tim with his dead inside shirt and black jeans, Wayne wearing his open hoodie and his normal blue jeans, and Willow with her overcoat and her shorts stepped out of the car. With the opening in the trees now in front of them, the only thing keeping the four from the terrors they would soon experience was an access road that led up to an overpass walkway bridge, which also was the road in and out of the area. Having been the original back exit to the park, the path of trees was the only way in and the only way out. On their way into the forest of trees, the group began to notice graffiti and damage to the buildings that made little sense of the place they were in. Amusement was the main purpose of this park. Satanic graffiti, burn pits with remnants of animal remains, broken windows, and serious damage to buildings littered the sides of the path. The weird part about the amusement park is that in the middle, the asphalt is still there, causing the trees to only grow around the park, and very little inside the actual area. Tim says that inside the circle of trees, the remnants of Joyland reminded him of the destruction left behind the war. The first place that they wanted to go was the Wall of Mirrors roller coaster, parts of which were very unstable. While at the top, the four recall hearing an odd gargled scream coming from the bottom. Thinking to themselves, each one knew someone had to be down at the bottom. They all looked at each other, knowing instantly what they needed to do. With a large inhale, Tim barked out, "Police!" Then they all waited for a response. Tim, with the deepest voice out of the group, expected to hear at the very least footsteps running away. The night grew silent. No sound disrupted the pounding hearts that sat atop of the ride. After what seemed to them to be about 10 minutes, they finally worked up the courage to go down and check it out. However, still wanting to finish the rest of the ride, they decided to continue and waste a little bit more time before they had to meet with whatever made that horrifying noise. Suddenly, the flapping of wings could be heard. Then, a bat attacked, hitting Willow and Brendan in their faces. Once the bat hit Brendan's face, it made a quick turn and went back the way it came. After the laughter died, with spirits lifted due to the bat attack, they carried on their way. Cautious of running into the bat again, the four allowed the recent events to keep their minds off of the inevitable end of the ride. After passing even more damage and satanic graffiti, the ground began to dip, indicating the start of the end. Once they stepped past this barrier, there would only be the trip down, keeping them from reaching whatever created that ghastly noise. While standing at the top, Wang grew an overwhelming suspicion.
Are we just going to forget about the bat from earlier?
Willow and Tim both spoke up.
That shit was insane.
Laughter once again rose up. That was, until they came to another dip in the floor. The darkness was only slightly broken up by the moonlight that could only barely be seen at the bottom of the metallic wooden abyss. Still standing, Tim shouted out once more,
"Police!"
in hopes of scaring off whatever might be lurking at the bottom. Once they creeped up to the opening of the wall, the brisk wind brushed over their sweat-drenched skin. The switch from the dry heat of the dusty ride house to the cool wind snapped them awake, and realization that nothing was there made the situation feel so surreal. The night was still, with not a soul in sight. The ground seemed just as empty as when they had first arrived. Relief flushed over them. Whatever was there was no longer to be seen. From out of nowhere, a metallic dragging sound started throughout the entire park. The group stood still, terrified that whatever made the noise earlier might now be dragging something around. The four members of the group state the noise sounded like something with chains was being dragged against the asphalt. Having been to Joyland before, Wayne and Willow both knew the sound was odd to say the least. Tim recalls the first thought running through his mind was that someone was captured, dead or not, chained up, and dragged to a burn pit, or possibly even a ritualistic burial site. Terror stricken once again throughout a 30-minute span since they first arrived. All they could do was look around in fear of what might be coming towards them. A round of signs broke the silence that almost seemed deafening. Trying to film for YouTube, the four decided to carry on, at least the wooden coaster, rumored to still be stable enough to stand on the loading bay. When walking up the stairs, the general consensus for the group was how insane the night had been. Between the weird growl and the dragging chains, they began to grow worried. Concerned for their lives, they decided to give the coaster a quick look around and head up to the bridge. Once on the loading bay for the coaster, the sight of massive damage, pentagrams or pentacles, the word drag etched into the floor, and even more satanic graffiti littered the coaster's skeletal remains. After a quick look around, the four realized that the sounds of dragging chains once again broke the silent night, filling them with fear once more. Armed with older tripods and flashlights, they soon decided the best course of action was to charge. Sprinting towards the sound, the group soon noticed what looked like a really odd table sitting next to one of the burn pits. Once the light from their flashlights hit the table, they noticed it was a human. Wearing a brown shirt, purple shorts, and no shoes, the human seemed to be on hands and feet, flipped upside down. The heartbeats resonating through the air from everyone in the group. The thought that their heartbeats were too loud almost seemed to be confirmed with the snap of this creature's head. When I say snap, Tim said he could hear three distinct cracks coming from the creature's neck. Another scream, a gargling human-like scream, came from the gaping mouth of this person who still stood in its table-like posture. The worst part of this thing was its stance. Tim recalls the creature was facing the sky, his arms over his head, his hands facing forward. "Then it got worse," says Tim. With one final scream still on all fours, the creature sprints off faster than I could run. Fear turned into confusion. As the creature ran away, there was no longer a question. They had to survive. newfound adrenaline carried them past the burn pit, past the Hall of Mirror coaster, through the wall of trees, past the graffiti, damaged buildings, and out to the access road. At some point during their sprint back to their car, Willow noticed her flip-flop was gone, and a search began. Not daring to go back into the wall of trees, they began looking around the access roads. Tim, starting to walk further down the access road, away from the entrance to the park and away from the overpass bridge, far away from their car and a place none of them had even gone close to. The outline of something lighter, then black, caught Tim's attention. Willow's flip-flop was found far away where she had lost it, in the middle of the access road, as if expecting to be found. He grabbed the flip-flop and ran straight to the car, not even turning back once. Now in the safety of the car, Tim handed Willow her shoe back. Still a bit shaken up, Tim brought up the fact that they promised to do the Ouija board at least once during the video. Still not wanting to go back into the mouth of the beast that lies just beyond the wall of the trees, they decided on the bridge where so many people took their own lives. The city had to fence it off at the top. Grabbing the Ouija board, more tripods, and a different light, the trek up to the bridge began. The sounds of footsteps on the wooden panels of the bridge were droned out by the roars of the cars passing underneath. Pulling the board out of the box, Willow was the only one of the group with an actual experience with the board. Due to her experience, Willow decided to step back and swore to never touch the board again. Starting off, they began to ask basic questions. Is there anyone here? Were you the thing we saw in the park? Does anyone want to talk? The normal things you would think to ask when in this situation. After a while of no answers, the four began to ask about the bridge. Why is this bridge closed off? Did you feel forced to jump? Do you think it was your time to go? Still no answers. At this point, Tim had thought of something that he had heard of before. Do you want to speak to Willow? An audible groan escaped Willow's mouth as the planchette began to move towards the 012 yes on the board. Immediately, all three of the guys asked the others, which one of you guys moved it? To his surprise, both Wayne and Brendan denied moving the board. Brendan, usually being the one who moves it, would admit it for goofs or whatever. Everyone seemed a little more shocked than they should have been. With none of the three ever having a planchette actually move before, the skepticism was still there. After some more questions, and the occasional interruption of bystanders crossing the bridge, the four began to grow worried. With the memory of whatever that creature was that they saw at the park still in their minds, the knowledge of the same man walking back and forth from one side of the bridge to the other creeped all of them out. Finally, the man began to walk away, and the four decided that they would ask more questions. However, before they could ask anything else, they noticed a car driving down the access road, slowing down as it turned the corner onto the road the bridge was attached to. With only one entrance that wasn't closed off by a fence, when the car passed this entrance, the four believed the person must have just been lost. That was, until the car took a left and turned into the fenced-off entrance. Now freaking out, the four began to pack up, saying goodbye to the board. They packed everything up except for the camera. With everything in the bag, they ran back to the car, hoping not to run into a cop who might have a key for the fence. As they reached the fence, all four recalled the gate still being locked, with no car other than their own in the parking lot to the school. The four ran back to the car and fled the area, with Tim's camera dying immediately as they drove onto the access road. The four decided to never talk about that night ever again. The fear this night brought to them prevented them from coping. Now split up, the four hardly ever talk anymore. We will never know what it was that they truly saw. A car that disappeared with no trace of leaving. A person or creature on all fours running faster than any of the others even could. And the screeches that temporarily paralyzed two people who have investigated abandoned hospitals and have performed rituals before. Do you have any idea what this creature could be? Let me know down below.